Joe's the one guy who's been there right from 1985, right until, you know, he passed away yesterday. And I want to go back to, you know, the original, you know, Joey coming, and joining the Edmonton Oilers. We know that, Wayne, you know, was dating his sister Vicky at the time and wanted to get Joe involved, kind of, you know, what do you remember from those first few days of having Joey around the team?
Well, I'll go back a little bit further before I do that, Jason, and remember the first time I met Joe was actually at the Moss's family home for Thanksgiving in, I believe, about 1981. And that would have been a few years before he came aboard. But clearly saw the personality in Joe and how his family got it out of him. And it was my first time. Actually, I grew up next door to a woman who had Down syndrome, but you know, we didn't really have much of a connection. So this was really my first experience, and it was really an eye opener for me. And then, you know, fast forward to what you're asking about, when he would have come in the dressing room, those first, call it weeks, months, and how the players accepted him. And you know, I think there's just been a love affair with Joe right from day one. And probably because as much of him as anything else, his personality was, you know, he grew up in a large family, so he was used to being around people. He certainly wasn't intimidated by anyone, and he certainly put you in your place when needed be. So it wasn't long. You know, we had such great guys, you know, starting with Wayne and Paul Coffey and Mess and those guys. We really, and you know, more importantly, you know, for a guy like Glenn Sather, to agree to have something like this happen, you know, that was, I don't know if, I'm sure perhaps it existed in other pro sports leagues, of someone of Joey's background working with the organization. But I mean, he was there to be part of the training staff, you know, Glenn agreed to it, and Wayne initiated, and here we are 35 years later talking about him.
And, you know, Kevin, like, it's awesome that, you know, Wayne initiated and Glenn accepted it, and then, you know, the entire team really embraced Joey. But you talk about the trainers and the equipment managers and Sparky and your brother Ken and those guys, like, especially Spark, like, they really looked out for Joey.
No question. Barry Stafford's in there, and Rick Ellis-Chuck, who worked the visitor's dressing room all those years, doesn't get mentioned enough, but Rick was a big part of those early years as well. But particularly Sparky, Jason, he had more than a working relationship and a friendship. I mean, you know, he would have been the adopted brother, I guess, into Sparky's family, or likewise Sparky into the Moss family. Because, you know, it takes... Although Joe was very capable, you still have to be on guard and in terms of, you know, making sure that he's taken care of. So Sparky had, you know, had a heavy job load, and of course, you know, welcomed having Joey help him. But Sparky really had to relish and enjoy the companionship to make it work.
Kevin Lowe joins us talking about the legacy of Joey Moss. And Kevin, do you recall the first time Joe sang La Bamba?
Yeah. You know, again, the Moss family, right? They were big entertainers.
Okay.
They traveled around in a bus, and all the entire family was musical. I think there was 13 kids, if I have it right. And Joey was the second youngest. And so entertaining was, you know, in his blood. The first time I can't recall, but I can, you know, vividly remember him singing it ad nauseum at least two or three times a year, and he belted out every word, and you know, he didn't know all the words, but he made us think he knew all the words.
And now, what about, when did you realize he had such a passion for wrestling, and did you ever wrestle him?
No, I never. I never wrestled him, but you know, it probably would have been right out of the get-go. I think probably Sparky enjoyed wrestling, and I know a lot of the guys, but certainly over the years, the guys, once they knew this, and especially the newer generations in the 90s when I came back from New York, you know, guys like Kelly Buchberger and Dougie Waite and Ryan Smith and that generation of players, they were really big on the wrestling thing and taking Joe to the WWF or, you know, if it was on pay-per-view, they'd have him over to their house and, you know, have burgers and a Coors Light. And it was such, I mean, he was crazy about it.
Yeah.
But I do remember the time when he wrestled Dustin Penner, 2 out of 3 fall for the Oilers dressing room belt. And Penn's was, you know, wonderful. He played it out and allowed, Joey won the first bout and Penn's won the second. And then he let Joey win the third and final match to get the belt. It was, I can see it like it was yesterday. And of course, Penn's outweighed Joey by about 125 pounds, so
yeah.
Joey really had to step up to win that belt.
You know what's funny, Kevin, is I remember Jared Stoll as a young rookie, maybe it was his second or third year, telling, you know, he had wrestled with Joey, and he was like, man, like, he was actually really strong. Like, I had to really start trying, like, because Joe took it quite serious. But Joe, you mentioned how he was an entertainer. Like, he really relished the whole, like, he wanted to make, like, he, like, Struds was telling me how, like, when the guys, they would boo him, and he just loved it. Like, he liked almost being the heel sometimes in the wrestling
match. No question. He played the role just like you saw on TV. He played to the crowd, and, you know, when the guys booed him, he'd, you know, he'd give a nasty face and dig in and, you know, try something dirty. And, yeah, and now that you mentioned Stoley, for sure, Stoley is such a class act. But there were so many guys that came through like him that you know, I mean, we all just were just blessed that we had the luxury of being around him and have such great memories, but the wrestling stuff for sure was high up on the list.
Kevin Lowe joins us. It's interesting, Kevin, Joey's first year, 1985-86, of course, that was a devastating loss for you guys that year in Game 7 against the Calgary Flames. And then, of course, you went on to win 3 cups in the next 4 seasons. But, you know, a lot of players talk about just like Joe, you know what, he really – you know, he didn't, in the regular season, he didn't care as much about winning or losing. He was always pretty even keel. But in the playoffs, like, he understood the importance of it. And, you know, do you remember 87 when you guys won the cup? Because for you, that would have been your third Stanley Cup at that point. But, you know, for Joe, that would have been his first experience of it, especially after the heartache. How was it, you know, do you remember just, you know, his unbridled enthusiasm? Was it that much more noticeable, or was he always that excited?
Oh, I remember when he finally got a hold of the cup, when they gave him a little sip of champagne. I mean, he had his paws around the top of the cup and the smile on his face after, you know, of course, everyone made a big deal about it, you know, led by Barry Stafford and Sparky and those guys, and all the players were around. And yeah, he grew up around a sports family, the Moss family. They loved their hockey and played ball hockey and things like that. So of course, you know, he came by his love for sports naturally as well, but of course, his days with the we're calling them the Edmonton Football Club now, but his days there as well, those guys, I mean, I knew a lot of those guys, you know, Tommy Towns and Dave Cutler and Kep and all those guys, and they all have fond memories of him as well.
Yeah, it was kind of quite amazing, Kevin. There's very, like, your brother, of course, has his name on the Stanley Cup and the Grey Cup, and, you know, it's very rare. But, like, for somebody like Joey to be with the two pro sports teams and really become embedded with both is truly amazing.
Yeah, credit to him, Jason. You know, he deserves all the recognition, I guess, for people that are listening to this and wondering, you know, I mean, who was this guy if they didn't really know much about him? I mean, he's certainly deserving of all the accolades because another person that perhaps helped put Edmonton on the map with all his work with the Down Syndrome Society of Canada and been recognized by halls of fame for his work, including the NHL, and as Barry Stafford said, you know, he's maybe one of the most popular people in town, and he doesn't even know it. That was the beauty of it, you know, it was just him being him, and that he could, he could be such an important figure in the history of Edmonton sports.
It truly is amazing, Kevin. And earlier you mentioned how you did, you had a woman who had Down syndrome, but you didn't really interact a lot as a kid. And so for a lot of people, like, I know I felt that Joey's biggest legacy was he changed the conversation and the outlook people had on people with Down syndrome. Did you feel that? You know, I'm sure there was lots of guys in your room and on the Eskimos that had never interacted with anybody with Down syndrome and probably really changed maybe their perceptions of people with Down syndrome.
No question. And if you think of all those athletes that, you know, can be fairly influential in their respective communities, that outreach, right, of inclusion, you know, making the conversation easier. And you know, the Oilers had, you know, so many people reach out to them to thank them for the inspiration for their respective, you know, kids that had Down syndrome. You know, you think of the Sutters, of course, a member in their family, and, you know, he became quite famous. He's quite famous in his own right, but of course, Joe was the founder of all that stardom, I guess.
Yeah, no, and it's true. Like, it really, we've had so many texts from parents of children who have developmental disabilities or Down syndrome, and how, you know, seeing Joey was really inspiring to them because it just, you know, that A, people treated him with respect, and I think that was the main one, and how Joey really gave everybody respect. And now, Kevin, we had Jason Smith on the show earlier, you know, and Strutty talked about it. Did you ever have Joey sleep over at your house?
I did, yeah. You know, the guys, I remember Ryan Smith a lot, Jason Smith for sure. That sort of became more in vogue in the 90s, although Craig Simpson maybe might have been one of the first, other than Wayne, of course, to have him stay with him. And but, oh, you know, it was such a treat, you know. It was, you know, guys looked forward to it. They'd actually be arguing who had Joey coming over to stay at their place that night. It was a nice release for them, you know. They, you know, just to see how, how simple life became,
yep.
You know, having him around, how he was just content getting a burger and maybe one Coors Light and watching a little TV, and, you know, everything else didn't matter when you were with him, you know, which is probably the best message that of what he could do for the athletes, you know, especially when things weren't going well, that they could look to a guy like Joe for some inspiration.
Kevin Lowe joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260, talking about the legacy of Joey Moss. And Kevin, of course, you just, you know, recent announcement, you're going into the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is a huge honor. You know, we've had tons of listeners wondering, the Oilers and the Eskimos have honored big people in their organizations before. You know, banners are one thing. Like, Joey's such a unique personality, and you're obviously heavily involved in the organization, more on the business side now, and on the hockey. And this is, I think it's kind of like a community business decision. Like, I have to assume there's going to be a lot of people involved to find out the best way to honor Joe and what his connection was, not only to the Oilers and the Esks, but also to the entire community.
Yeah, no question, Jason. I mean, 9 o'clock this morning, Bob Nicholson was organizing a call with all the past captains, reaching out to soliciting as much, you know, conversation about Joe. You know, Patrick Garland is going to lead the end from the OEG's perspective in terms of communicating with all the players. I mean, the captains were all, they all had something to say, and they all had want to have input. There'll be something significant for Joe, no question. It's just, you know, a matter of what is the right thing. I don't totally disagree with Terry Jones. A statue is probably fitting, or as a banner or something. But, you know, that'll be one piece of his ongoing legacy. But also from the Oilers Foundation and the organization want to make sure that there's an ongoing presence of Joe's work he did within the city, you know, relative to individuals with disabilities. So
yeah.
You can expect some big announcements coming in the you know, in the near future, but no question he'll be fully deserving of it. It'll be a significant, you know, representation of Joe and his time in the city.
Kevin, you know, Joey's 57, which, you know, exceeds the average lifespan of a person with Down syndrome. And, you know, Joey broke so many barriers, really, in his life. But I know he broke his hip in July, we learned. And, you know, I've seen him at the rink for many years. And you could tell he was slowing down, just a little bit. Was it hard to see that, Kevin, you know, knowing somebody who had such a zest for life and his personality was still the same, but like, you know, it was funny. Odell Willis put out a video today of him and Joey Moss, like only 5 years ago, and Joe isn't like, he's doing roundhouse kicks in the room and they're kind of mirroring like a wrestling thing. Like, he, you know, he was really spry for a lot of his age, which is really amazing for him.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, it was a little hard. I was going to say, it sounds like you're describing me, moving slow, old, broken down 61-year-old. So we shared that in common, but the lighter side of it was, you know, Jeff Lang, who took over from in terms of, you know, mentoring Joey from Lal Sparky Kulchiski. You know, of course, Langer, like Sparky, they were the person responsible, the final line of responsibility relative to Joe in terms of his scheduling and, you know, where is he going, how's he getting home, when's he eating, all these things. And you know, over the last couple of years, I'd ask Langer how Joey was doing. He said, he's really slowing up. His memory's going a bit, but he says, I'm not exactly sure. I think he might be playing it up a little bit because he wants to come to the rink, but he doesn't want to work as hard anymore. And I said, well, I get that. Who's not like that as you get older? But, it was difficult. I think we suspected that, you know, certainly not this quick. You know, we figured that his better days were behind him, but, we could see that there was a beginning, you know, there was a decline. But when you saw him in his eyes, you know, you could tell that he had put in a full shift. Like, you know, when it comes to that point in your life, he's lived it to his fullest. When you take into account, like you said, people with Down syndrome and you know, not great expectations in terms of longevity. So he got full bang for his buck in terms of enjoying life and you know, being the person he was.
No question about that. Kevin Lowe joins us, and he, I think Jason Shamara was the one who texted to me. Said he was the perfect teammate because he asked for nothing and gave you everything.
Yeah, that's a good quote by Chimmer for sure. That's exactly what he was.
And Kevin, just, you know, one last one. I don't know, because obviously Wayne was very close to you. Have you had a chance to talk? Because I think, you know, it's great that we celebrate Joey, you know, but it's still a pretty devastating loss. We had Dwayne Mandruzek on, and, you know, Joey's like a son to him, and, you know, Sparky, same thing. They're all really close. Just, you know, your teammates, it's kind of a bittersweet day, I would assume, because, you know, you have all these great memories of Joey, but at the same time, now he's gone.
Yeah. No, you won't see him again. That's the reality. And, you know, certainly as you get older in life, the more you understand and, I guess, appreciate that statement. We're getting to that stage in our lives where people are leaving, and so Joe was extra special, of course, so it makes it that much more difficult. But, you know, Wayne's a pretty sensitive guy. So I know it'd be hard on him, hard on Paul Coffey for sure, hard on most of the guys. It'll. I'm not sure what's going to happen relative to a memorial. That'd be a real tearjerker. But we've got all the great memories to hang on to.
Well, I Struds and I talked about it many months ago. We just said, you know, whenever Joey passes away, I thought it'd be the biggest funeral in Edmonton. And I firmly believe that. It would have to be one that you have outside, because there's so many Edmontonians that felt a connection to Joey, even though they never actually met him. And, like, he really transcends Edmonton for so many reasons, the passion of sports fans, but just the humility. Edmonton is very much a philanthropic city. There's a lot of people that like to donate to charities, and Joe gave a lot of time and showed up and, you know, loved being on stage at the Uniquely Me gala and things like that. It is one that's very tough, especially at this time in COVID where people can't get together. And, you know, so hopefully there will be, you know, a future, a celebration of life where all of those really close to him are able to honor him properly.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the things that you know, certainly Barry Stafford's been talking directly with Joey's sister Patty, so haven't quite heard what the family's planning. That's obviously what they're planning. But you know, when all of us as Edmontonians, as you had alluded to, you know, think of him as one of ours. So you're right. If there was an open funeral, you know, doubtful with the pandemic hanging around. But if there was, it would be the most attended by of any funeral in the history of the city, certainly.
Kevin, thanks so much for this, for sharing some of your thoughts about just a great person in Joey Moss. And, you know, our condolences to you and everyone in the Oilers organization, the Eskimos, because I know many of you were really close to Joe. He was a beauty of a guy. I was very happy I got to meet him.
Well, thank you, Jason, and your show and the station for giving Joey the time to be recognized and for giving everybody an opportunity to speak about him, because as I've said and everyone else has mentioned, he's deserving it. So it's another good thing. This is a real Edmonton thing, and Edmonton does these things well. So good on you guys.